Good morning, Lake Norman. Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam here, and we're back for About Town today. So we're going to do some really, really ancient traveling back into time here with our police department. But what a beautiful day we've got this day here in the town of Cornelius. We're coming off of a big election week. It's been an exciting week, and I will have to admit, I was proud in some cases and a little disappointed in a couple more with those election returns coming in. But, you know, life goes on and things will work out, and we'll move this area forward for sure. So anyhow, here we go today. And our topic of conversation today is one of my favorite topics here in the town of Cornelius. And as an elected official for the past 10 years, a little bit more than 10 years now, what a great topic it is. And that would be the Cornelius Police Department. And I have as my guest Lieutenant Steve Davis, one of my buddies in that department for a long time. Yeah, listen to the crowd, y'all. Listen to the crowd. They love Lieutenant Davis for sure. So, you know, I've gotten to know him over the years, and what a quality guy he is. He's done a little bit of everything in the Cornelius Police Department. Steve, welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's so good to have you. And tell me a little bit about your career with the Cornelius Police Department.
Well,
or law enforcement overall.
Yeah, so you talk about we're going way back in time, and I wasn't sure how to take that. You said ancient and way back in time, and I'm the guest today. I've been with Cornelius for just over 28 years now.
Wow.
February 26th of this year was 28 years. That's my career in law enforcement. I started in Cornelius, and I've been here the whole time.
What a great story. And, you know, we've got a lot of people like that has achieved such longevity and given our town such lengthy service. And, you know, a couple of them have left and come back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what a great story it is to tell. I guess that means in this business, we're a pretty good place to work, maybe.
We are a very good place to work. We have, as recently as today or right now, we have one officer that left and was gone about 8 months. And I want to come back. I want to work in Cornelius.
So, oh, great.
We have officers that come from other agencies and come in and are like, you know, this, I've never seen this where I was at. So we are very, very, very fortunate at the police department.
Well, you've had some great leadership over there, and now you're one of the leaders. And tell us what you do now, and then we'll go backwards with your career, and then we'll really dive back in town.
Yeah. So now I'm over field operations, which is our patrol division, our lake enforcement and traffic. So I supervise that division.
So your guys give the tickets, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you want to talk to Lieutenant Steve about that, you can call us at 1-844-STUDIO-4 and see what kind of advice he gives you about not getting a ticket in the town of Cornelius, because you will get a ticket. If you break the law.
Absolutely.
And that's not a good thing to do here. We got to keep it safe for sure. So that's what you do. You've done a little bit of everything. I think I remember you on Lake Patrol, don't I?
Yeah, I've done probably the only division. I've worked in every division as an officer and supervisor, with the exception of our communication center.
Gotcha.
So I've been in community policing. I've done investigations, patrol, lake, traffic. I may have done a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Well, that certainly add your value to this this whole equation with why we're as good as we actually are here in the town of Cornelius. So you know, as far as your ranking in I know you guys, we just don't take your word that you're really good, but there's rankings and classifications.
Sure.
There's exams you go through. Tell us about that. How you really rank is in terms. I think you've got a group coming back in soon, don't you? The Kalia.
Yeah. So we, so where our agency is CLIA accredited.
Right.
So it is a it's an organization that basically sets a group of standards, and you have to meet those standards.
Right.
And an example of that, and this is just a small example, if our agency unlocks cars, which we do, the CLIA standard may say that if your police department unlocks cars, then you should have a waiver form signed, release and liability.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's their standard. So what we have to do is make sure that's in policy, and then we have to have a waiver form. And so when they come by and they do our accreditation, then they look at that, and then we have the standard, we have the policy that says we meet that standard, and then we have a proof that backs that up.
Exactly, exactly. One of the neat parts of our law enforcement in this area, I think that, that plays right into it. You mentioned the one area that you had not been a part of was the communications mm-hmm. area. And how fortunate do you think we are that we've got this, our own very own 911 center that's located right in the heart of our police station?
Right. There's no way I could really explain that anybody would understand how important that is. It is critical at times. I mean, it's, if you're a Cornelius, you dial 911, you're going to the Cornelius Police Department.
Yeah.
If you need police, you're going to get police quick. If you're, you know, outside Cornelius, and you have to go through some of these bigger PSAPs, you know, you may even get put on hold if you dial 911. So not only that, but just the ability to, you know, our day-to-day operations for, you know, getting information, it's right there. The dispatchers know the officers. The dispatchers know the town. So mm-hmm. when something happens, the dispatchers know kind of the area and things like that. It is just proving itself over and over again, the importance of having it there. And if we would ever lose it, it would definitely affect the quality of service that we could provide to
it,
the town.
It really would. And, you know, as long as I'm around, you know, my support is definitely behind not only the whole department, but that particular function. And it cost our taxpayers some money mm-hmm. to have our own 911 center. But every indication I get is our taxpayers want it. They feel better having it. And, you know, I think the proof is in the performance that we have in our responses and
right.
things like
I mean,
that.
I'm a little biased because I work for the Cornelius Police Department, but I will tell you, if as a citizen, if I lived in the town of Cornelius and I had the option, I would 100% support that. It's one of those things, if you don't have it, or you don't need it, you really don't know. But when you do need it, you then you're like, oh, wow, I really need that.
Yeah, one of the advices I give citizens when I talk to them, I'm speaking to them about safety, is don't hesitate. If you see a problem, call 911. It's okay. It's okay. You aren't bothering people.
Yep.
Just call it. Don't put it out on Nextdoor or Facebook. Call 911 if you think you've got a problem.
Right.
So here we are today in a lovely town of Cornelius, talking to Lieutenant Steve Davis with the Cornelius Police Department. It's a delight to, anytime you get the opportunity to talk about our wonderful police department, but to have a special guy like him that's been here 28 years devoting his service to the town of Cornelius is fantastic. Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam right here. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. We'll return with more of Mayor Woody Washam and About Town in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. About Town continues now. Here's your host, Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
And we're back. Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam here, and we are About Town today, talking with one of the leaders in the Cornelius Police Department, Captain Steve Davis. Again, welcome back, Steve. And, we were talking about this 911 center that's so valuable to the town of Cornelius. And, we've got room. I hope these other towns, surrounding towns, will begin to talk to us. They were part of 911 at one point and then went some different ways for different reasons, mainly cost reasons, but anyhow, we hope we can wrap them back one day. So We'll work toward certainly doing that. So that's kind of where we are now. And, you know, I have lived in Cornelius all my life. And one of the great assets that we've always had in this area has been our police department. But, you know, I've seen that thing grow from, goodness, from one or two policemen, probably one, to, I don't know, how many sworn officers do we have now? About 60 or 70?
66
sworn officers now. So we've come a long way from Puckett and some of those guys that signed on with us many, many years ago. So so our town's evolved, but so is our Cornelius Police Department. We roll with the times. I'm positive about that. So let's step back just a little bit, and Captain Davis is something else too that I didn't note earlier, and that is, I think we could probably call him our official historian for the unofficial historian for the Cornelius Police Department, and he has got some rich history and some rich stories. And when did all this, what does this go back to? Probably before I was born, I hope. Yeah, Here we go back.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, 1905, the town was chartered.
Yeah.
And in the charter itself, it named the mayor and the commissioners, and it appointed, it said, okay, now you guys go back, and you got to hire, I think it was a treasurer, and you have to have a constable.
Mm-hmm.
So it started with a constable that I have no idea who that was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit hard to kind of really get a good grasp on the history, because it wasn't Cornelius in the newspapers. It was Limley Township sometimes. So it's kind of hard. And Cornelius mm-hmm. was not really big, and the county was the police for the most part. So you didn't have a lot in the newspaper about Cornelius as far as the police department. So so this all started with a conversation with Chief Black about our chiefs, past mm-hmm. chiefs, and we had no idea. We had no idea who our chiefs were, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. So, you know, I love history, so I just kind of started going back and looking, and then, you know, it just kind of went, I went down a rabbit hole. I spent hundreds of hours researching.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I went back as far as 1916 with an article that said Cornelius Police Chief Goforth. Or in Goforth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have anything else other than that article. So I'm assuming he was a police chief here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're going back to 1916 with a police chief. And then in 1936, I found an article. The Cornelius Post Office was entered and nothing taken.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a quote from Chief C.A. Webster, Police Chief C.A. Webster.
Yeah.
So we had a police chief in 1936. Now mm-hmm. he was probably the chief because he was probably the only police officer. Mm-hmm. So, but beyond that, you know, I kind of go up to really the first kind of official police chief that I can say was Hollis Reed.
Yeah,
and that was in the 50s.
I remember Hollis.
You remember Hollis?
I do.
So this is a great story, and I have to tell this story. I had no idea who Hollis Reed was, and I'm doing all this research, and this was 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I can't find anything on Hollis Reed. And I'm like, I want to know something about this guy. So I'm researching, there's nothing there. And I don't even know how I found this out, but, Hollis Reed's daughter is Sharon Bumgarner.
That's right. He sure is.
Sharon Bumgarner's son, Jeremy Bumgarner, was a police officer for us for uh-huh. a short time.
Yep.
And I'm like, how did I not know that? So, but before I found that information out, I found an article in the newspaper, and it was May 13th, 1955. Mm-hmm. Huntersville Police hires Hollis Reed as their police chief.
Uh-huh.
So that was May 13th, 1955.
Right.
On June the 4th, 1955, which is 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, mm-hmm. there's an article in the paper, Hollis Reed quits. Huntersville looking for a new police chief.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I'm like, oh, man, I wonder what this is about. So uh-huh. I'm like, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, you know, there was these small town,
right.
You know, chief goes
drama.
In, is not going to play by their rules. Uh-huh. I'm my own man. And so I just had all this, you know, kind of big drama story.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I found out about, you know, Sharon, and I called her. And, you know, we just talked about all this. And I said, look, I got to ask you this. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
What happened that, you know, made him quit there? Or was he forced to leave, or what was going on? And she said that when he was hired in Huntersville, the town of Huntersville provided housing.
Mm-hmm.
And his mama, or her mama, his wife said, I'm not leaving here. We're not leaving Cornelius. I'm not moving to Huntersville. You're going to quit this job.
And I believe they lived on the corner of Catawba Avenue and Church Street.
They did. Yes, they did.
Her
parents, Sharon's grandparents, lived across the street.
That's right.
So it was a combination of not wanting to be out of Huntersville. She didn't know anybody. But she didn't want Neil Hollis to be in Huntersville and her being here in Cornelius and
right.
no way of contact. Of course, she didn't have cell phones and things.
Right.
So it was just a combination of things. And I love the way Sharon put it. She said that her mama persuaded
uh-huh.
Hollis to come back to Cornelius.
Yeah.
So he was there for a couple weeks, and that was it. And from there on, I've got a pretty good idea of our chiefs. And we're actually doing a chief's wall at the police department. So we've got pictures and we've got plaques made. So when you come in, it's going to be a wall with all the chiefs on it.
Right.
And we're going to have a little reception when we get that up, because I want to try to get people in. And the stories that we're going to hear at that point. Maria Jaton, W.B. Jaton was the after Hollis Reed. William Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my research, I'm seeing W.B. Jaton. I'm just article after article mm-hmm. about him being in Mecklenburg County Police.
Mm-hmm.
And I was following his history and didn't really see anything about Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
Another Maria Jaton lives in town. That's his daughter. She lives here in town. She would come to the police department. I had no idea. Found that out.
Amazing.
And I had some pictures of W.B. Jaton from the newspaper. So Maria was sitting in my office, and I said, "Have you seen any pictures of your dad in uniform?" And she said, "No." So I'm like, "I'm going to make her day. I'm going to show her pictures. This is going to be kind of a touching moment." And I pulled this picture up, and she said, "That ain't my daddy."
Oh no!
And I said, no, this was when he was in the county police, not when he worked in Cornelius. She said, that ain't my daddy.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, this woman's crazy. was her uncle.
Was her uncle. Wow.
W.B. Jaton, he had a William Brady, which was her dad, and a William Barnett, I believe, Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Or William Barnett Jaton, William Brady Jaton. So there's two W.B. Jaton. So all this research I've been doing, all this stuff I found was actually her uncle and not her dad. So, but she brought me a couple of things that, you know, she had from, you know, when her dad was a chief, and pictures. We've got some pictures now of, you know, of an old patrol car that ultimately I would like to get a replica of that mm-hmm. car, because I think it'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So we go back to like 1916, as far as police chiefs go. The county police pretty much handled most of the stuff. And you talk about our growth. Our growth is, you'd be surprised, I think, or at least I was. We're 66 officers now. But even up into the 80, in the mid-80s, you had 7 officers. 88, you had 8 officers. And even up until 90 and 93, you had 8 officers.
Wow.
That was it, and a chief. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's really not that long ago compared to where we're at now.
Exactly.
So when I started in 96, I think we were probably maybe at 20.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 zones, the east side of town and the west side of town. You had 1 officer in each zone and a sergeant, and it was it. And that was like that for a long time. And
wow.
Now we have 5 zones and an officer.
Right. Well, you know, back in the days and through the times, we've had some characters in this town. I know you know that. And I don't know if you, I don't think you go back as far as the Tree of Knowledge and all those wonderful institutions that have been in our town, but I do. And man, you know, I think actually our police officers or our chiefs, because there's probably just one or two in the department, would they'd hang down there with them. And the Tree of Knowledge was located right outside of the current Walgreens.
Right.
Which was really nothing there for a long time until Cashins moved their location down there in good many years ago, and then got out of the major grocery business.
Right.
So, you know, that was a big hangout spot. And, you know, our downtowns have, they're very different back then.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Our town halls, I think we actually had a jail in our town hall.
We actually have the bars.
Really?
Yeah, the bars, again, right as I was doing all this, the bars were leaning on the back wall down at the new building down at Star Creek. Ricky Overcast, like, you know, those bars come from the jail cell.
That's incredible. We're gonna get a little bit deeper in those bars. And, you know, we're doing this history museum. We'll talk about that, too, and how some of this may fit in. Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam, and we are with Captain Steve Davis, and we'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. We'll return with more of Mayor Woody Washam and About Town in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. About Town continues now. Here's your host, Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
And we're back. Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam here with Captain Steve Davis. And boy, the stories are starting to roll here about our Cornelius Police Department. I just was looking through some of his memorabilia that is kind of laying around the table here. And one of the things I saw was it's an article where all four Cornelius police officers resign because of the leash law. Is that what's that all about,
so,
Steve?
Yeah,
what a story that is.
In the early to mid 80s, the town council voted in a leash law that said you had to keep your dogs on leash. You know, you couldn't let them run wild, and if the dogs were out, then the officers had to pick the dogs up, or they had to write tickets and things like that. And essentially, the police said, you know what, we're not animal control officers. We're professionals. We're not equipped to handle dogs. We're not trained to handle dogs. We don't have a way to transport dogs. That's not what we do. But it goes a little bit further into that too, because the citizens, I don't think, helped the situation by kind of egging it on. The dog would be running down the street and, oh, you better go catch that dog. You know, the dog's getting away from you. Better. So I think it... and at that time there were four, and the chief and everybody, one ended up staying, but everybody left because of the leash law. And I mean, being in law enforcement, yeah, when I first started here, we would pick up dogs and take them to the animal shelter, and we had to put them in the back of the car. And I'm like, you know, it's not, and luckily we don't have to do that now, but we're not trained to handle dogs. You know, we don't
right.
have the equipment, so I understand it. Again, I don't think the picking helped the situation any at all.
Yeah, citizens picking on them and kidding them, because, I mean, everybody knew everybody
right.
in this town. I remember that, and I still sort of do, but it's not like it was for doggone sure, really
yeah.
not. So, well, that's quite interesting, and I also heard a story about, and we won't call any names here, one of the police chiefs went over and punched the town manager out. Is that true?
Yeah, so that's a story. There's a lot to that story.
Did he hang around after that?
He did not. he was gone. People that actually know about some of this stuff, like in great detail, are probably like punching a wall now.
Uh-huh.
But I'm getting what I get from newspaper articles that I
sure.
read, right? So, this is something happened and he essentially was let go.
Mm-hmm.
Asked to resign, whatever, and on the way out, he punched the town manager in the stomach, and a little bit later shot into the town hall. And up until a short time ago, we still had the plywood with the bullet hole in it, and we can't find it now. We don't know where it went. Shot into play and was end up, I think he got a suspended sentence or something, but he stole a gun shooting in town hall and assault on the town manager.
Right.
So that's one of the times we probably don't like to talk about things that happen in Cornelius.
Exactly. But you know, it's a long list of things
again,
for sure.
And that was, you know, in the '80s, which is not that long ago, but again, yeah, exactly. Like four officers. So, you know, Cornelius is totally different now than it was, you know, back then. You know, we've grown. Again, for me, it doesn't seem as long because I've been here 28 years is a long time, but it doesn't seem like that long. So when I think about when I first started and where we are now, it seems like it happened super fast. And I think the town really grew. And as far as the police department goes, I think, you know, we've grown, you know, very professional over in a short period of time. When you think of, you know,
right.
The charter started in 1905, right? So within the last, you know, 35, 40 years is when, you know, because Mecklenburg County, the county police did all the major stuff. And we were here to, you know, write speeding tickets and, you know, maybe lock up a drunk or something. But anything major happened, you know, we had the county would come in.
Right, right.
Like the great cotton mill robbery. Cotton mill robbery. Oh, that was a big thing.
Goodness.
I got the article of that.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. That was 1936, I believe, in February. The girls that were working in the finance office was putting the money in envelopes to get payroll ready, and two guys with dark glasses and guns waving, ran into the cotton mill and put everybody on the floor, get on the floor and stole an astonishing amount of money. This isn't what the article said. The
$3,600.
$3,600 back then was a great deal of money. But
oh, it was.
Stole $3,600, put them all on the floor, and then jumped in a car and took off.
Wow.
And eventually they were all three were caught. And,
right.
But it was also funny how fast the trial happened. I mean, within, I think, like maybe 4 or 5 months, they were arrested and the trial was over and they were sentenced. And then today that would be like not happening. It would take forever to go to trial.
It would.
So, yeah, but it was fun to read the article about, you know, this astonishing event. And, you know, but again, Cornelius was totally different then. You know, you just didn't have things like that.
So, tell me what you read about this. We used to have a court in town, didn't we?
Yeah, so we had a mayor's court, and this was actually in 61.
I think we need another mayor's
court. Yeah, it was a traffic court.
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, the purpose of the traffic court was to handle, you know, traffic things without having to go all the way to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a ton about it because it really doesn't get into a lot of detail about the traffic court, but it was something that, you know, the town board said we need to do this, and it happened, and we had it for a while, and I saw an article that said things are going great with traffic court, and then I didn't find anything else about it, so I'm not sure what happened to it. But I can tell you the police officers in the town of Cornelius would love to have a traffic court.
Oh, I bet they
Cornelius.
Would.
I mean, I don't think anybody would understand how much people or the police officers would love to have something like that.
I think we've worked over the past 25 years trying to get a magistrate up here, mm-hmm. and that hadn't happened yet. We closer now than we were, but you know, I'm not putting any money on it. Even now
we've been
just
talking
hoping
about that forever.
We keep pushing,
yeah.
Maybe one day, but yeah, we had a traffic court.
Yep.
Wow, yeah, you know, I get this only happened to me a couple of times as mayor, but I bet it used to happen a lot back then. Somebody would get stopped and pulled over and get a ticket. Call the mayor.
Yep.
And I've gotten a couple of those calls. And, you know, the way system is now with everything online and you know, it's once that officer enters it, it's done.
Yeah, so back in the day, it was easy to make a phone call and you could take care of a ticket. And,
right.
You know, law enforcement, you know, Sir Robert Peel in 18... the 1800s in England, kind of created a, we go again, back in time, was charged with, creating this, the London Police Force, right? And he has 9 principles that he came up with to, you needed to have as a police department. And one of those was, you enforce the laws and you don't cander to the public, opinion. And it's not political. The politics are out of it and everything. You do the job. Small towns, years ago, it's definitely not like it now, but, years ago, the politics did play a part in it. And I don't think that's a secret anywhere. I mean, if you knew the right person, you could call and, get a ticket taken care of. And but like I said, today, the chief can't do that by law.
Right.
Now, but once the officer puts that information in a computer and hits send, it's done.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You go to court. And there's not even really I don't even get calls anymore of, hey, man, I got this ticket. Is anyway, because I never did that anyway. I just, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do now.
Mm-hmm.
But,
When
the first ticket was issued, speeding ticket in the United States?
When?
Well, so the first paper ticket was 1904 in Ohio, 12-mile-an-hour.
Really?
Yeah. The first arrest was made in 1899, I believe, or 97, 12 miles an hour in New York City.
Wow.
That was the first arrest.
Uh-huh.
Well, I say that, and again, we go down a rabbit hole here with me because I'm just full of this useless knowledge from... Did you know that we had a president that was arrested?
A president? No.
Yep. And that was Grant. There was a street in Washington that he would race his horses on, and people did that on that street a lot. It's like speeding complaints we get now. People are flying down the street, and they were getting it, and somebody got hurt, and they're like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. And here come Grant down the street. And the officer's like, sir, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to arrest you. And Grant's like, well, what do we got to do? And he said, I got to take you to jail. And Grant said, well, climb on up. And the officer climbed up in Grant's wagon, and they went to the police department and did what they did.
Oh, wow. That's quite a story. Well, here we are today with Captain Steve Davis, reminiscing about the past and what stories we have. And we're not done yet. This is Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam, and we'll be right back.
Call now to speak with Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam at 844-STUDIO-4. It's About Town on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam here, and we are about town today with the Cornelius Police Department Captain Steve Davis. And, this show is bringing back so many wonderful memories to me about stories. And, I'm a real advocate, Steve, I know of really capturing some of this history. It's real magical to me. I know the fabric of our town has been building for years and years and years, and that's why it's good to have folks understand why we're like we are,
right?
And what built us into the town that we are today. I think that one of the things I have enjoyed about being a native here and being mayor in these kind of times is that I can relate to that fabric. I don't go back to 1905, but I go back a ways. And, I've lived probably half that time, half the existence of within my lifetime of the town of Cornelius. And, we have had some incredible moments here. And, I remember when we celebrated our 100-year centennial many years ago. My kids were in the parade, so that was a proud moment. But anyway, a lot of fabric there that puts it in place. And where that has evolved us to with all these rich stories you've been hearing today, and this is just a fraction of the stories that are out there. Some of them we can't tell. I mean, mm-hmm. they're just, you know, the kind of things you just wouldn't want to admit to mm-hmm. sometimes as it relates to our public safety operation. But, you know, we've evolved to a point where community policing is a critical part of our mission in the town of Cornelius. And we work hard in keeping that up, keeping a step ahead of that. But it's because of where we've come from. Cornelius has never been a fancy town. We have gone from a mill town many years ago and evolved in what I would call now almost to a resort community. Mm-hmm. And we have such a mix of population here, and their expectations are pretty high as far as how we perform at every level of town government, not just the police department, the park department, you know, the public works department, and the list goes on and on. And the expectations are pretty high. But, you know, I'm really, really pleased about this commitment to community policing and, you know, it relates, how does that relate to crime prevention and those kind of things? So tell us a little bit about that and in your perspective of how that came about, because you're pretty much heading that up now,
well,
aren't you?
Well, no, I'm that is not my division, but it's something that we all do, and it's something that we have done. It's on our patch. I mean, our patch says we're community policing driven. We have been a community driven agency since I started here. This is something that is like you said, it's not something we just said, hey, let's do that. Which that's what some agencies are happening, and in today's world, like, hey, we need to get back into community policing. We've never got out of community policing.
Right.
We have always done that.
And you don't flip a switch. You got to grow into it, I think.
And going back to Sir Robert Peel's principles, and I read these nine principles that were in the 1800s, the mid-1800s, and it seems like all nine of them are applying today. One of them is to recognize always that the power of the police to fulfill their function and duties is dependent on the public approval of their existence, actions, and behavior, and on their ability to secure and maintain public respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, that may be more true now than it's ever been. In order for us to effectively do our job, we have to have support of the community, and we understand that. We have built that. Now, obviously, you're not going to have everybody's support. There are people that don't like us for whatever reason, and that's fine. But it's something that we, you know, there's towns that have no community policing, that they don't have the support of the systems, and the officers hate it. They hate working there, and they hate going to work like that. And there's not a day that goes by probably that I don't go out here in town and somebody says, hey, thank you for what you do. The town of Cornelius is incredible. The citizens that are here are just absolutely incredible.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, part of, you know, community policing is crime prevention, and this is my thing. Community policing, crime prevention I love it. I've always loved it, and I'm very passionate about it. And we could actually sit here for an hour and talk about it. But one of the principles that he said, and I love this one, to maintain at all times a relationship with the public that gives reality to the historic tradition that the police are the public and the public are the police. The police being only members of the public who are paid to give full-time attention to the duties which are incumbent upon every citizen in the interest of community welfare and existence.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, it's everybody's job. Crime prevention is everybody's responsibility. Police officers are just paid to give full-time attention to it, but it takes everybody to do it. And years ago, you didn't have it. You didn't have paid. You either had people that volunteered or you had people that were made to do it as some type of punishment or something. But I mean, you can go back to the Statute of Winchester. I saw this and I thought it was very interesting. This is 1285. Now, there was a lot of problems with, you know, crime in the villages and cities and all in England. And the king, I think it was King. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. because somebody's gonna have a fit, and they're going like, back "No, in it time wasn't, again. Is it?"
There we go.
1285, and it's essentially the Statute of Winchester is what it is, and essentially what it's saying is that we're gonna have people. We're going to have people guarding at the gates.
Yeah.
But one of the problems they had was the leaders of these villages and all, they weren't really prosecuting the violators because it was family or something like that. And so the king is like, okay, if you don't prosecute, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're going to be in trouble.
Well, it's just like raising kids in 100%. These times. You know, there has to be consequences,
right?
And you know, really, with all of our laws and provisions of keeping the peace, you know, there's got to be consequences,
right.
And that's what makes all this work and come together. But they need to be reasonable consequences.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the things in the statute that said. You know, that they have to have these guards to keep watch. And if any stranger passed by them, let him be arrested until morning. And if nothing suspicious is found, he may go free. But if anything suspicious is found, let him be handed over to the sheriff forthwith, and he shall receive him without making difficulty and keep him safely delivered in due manner.
Well, maybe we need to get those bars out of storage
well,
here and put them back up.
Put them back up.
So, yeah, and put the cameras in there so we can see who's
right,
in there.
Yeah, so if you were walking through... You were arrested just for being out.
Yeah.
And then the next day you could be let go.
It's amazing. So, yeah. And you know, that's what has, I think, made our Cornelius Police Department as great as it is. And that is how the community gets behind your efforts in the police department to coordinate this public safety piece of it and back it up. And, you know, public safety includes all... sorts of twists and turns on our lake. It includes our fire services,
yep, fire service.
and all this, and you know, our community's behind that, and I know they are. It's such a heartwarming experience. I just have to tell you one story. It's in a police story, but it's close. A couple weeks ago, I was I've been working with one of our local businesses here, and the business is Mattress Express.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Jackson and the folks at Mattress Express stepped up and have donated 22 new mattresses to the Cornelius Fire Department.
Oh, wow.
11 for each station right now to replace the old and worn and flattened out mattresses that have been in there since those buildings have been built. They stepped up and did that. And, you know, it was such a pleasure for me to work with Neil and his folks to provide that kind of support. But you guys are the recipient of all the many funds and hard work that Top Deck puts in place in this
Absolutely.
Community. And they raise a lot of money for lots of different things to help you guys and make you feel good about your jobs and to let you know we love you,
right,
and appreciate you. So I mean, those kind of things, I don't think that goes on in just every
I don't
any
think
and
it
every
does
community.
I've never heard of it anywhere else.
Yeah, so we're so fortunate in this community, and you know, if there's anybody wanting to help, you contact me and I'll help you figure out a way to support our police officers and our public safety, our fire department, and all those folks that are so critical to keep the quality of life here in our town what it needs to be. I mean, that's an awesome kind of experience, and it goes back for centuries and centuries,
right.
as you've noted here today. So anyway, but
I was just going to say, we have a Citizens Academy.
Yeah, tell me about that.
The Citizens Academy is incredible. I actually put it together back. I don't even remember what it was. It was years ago. I've always wanted to do it. Vince Hoyle came in and he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." I think it is a fantastic opportunity for somebody that knows nothing about policing, police department, anything like that. You come in 12 weeks and you see every aspect of the PD. You see it meet officers. You do ride-alongs. You get an in-depth look at what we do and how we do things. And I guarantee you it's going to change the way you see things. It's 100%.
It's an awesome experience. I've heard so many good comments about that, and so many of our citizens have been through that. It's fantastic. Well, what a great show today, awesome. Steve. I really appreciate you being a part of it. Stories continue. Listen Woo-hoo! To you. The crowd's behind you. And yep. Here we go this beautiful day in the town of Cornelius. Yep. Really appreciate everybody listening today. Cornelius Mayor Woody Washam with Captain Steve Davis, Cornelius Police Department. And we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.